The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
And welcome to Talk Saratoga. We have a great guest this morning who is a regular on the show, but in the radio studio at the Skidmore, which unfortunately we can't be doing anymore until the all clear sign is given, and we're not sure when they're going to allow community DJs back in the studio. So I want to thank you for being here, Matt, today.
Good to be here, as always.
Yes, and I see you have your winner.
If we were on the radio, no one would know, but
well, let me see, we're gonna get into some topics today. The first one I'd like to talk about, which is been going on, is changes in the county government. And you've been right up the ladder on all the positions, and because you've mm-hmm. been on for quite a while, so why don't you tell us some of the changes that have been going on?
We've kind of changed the way things are being run at the county a little bit starting this year. There was a little bit of a split among the board of supervisors, which is rare in my career. I mean, normally the county, supervisors kind of run together and we all kind of have the same ideas and we all kind of vote in unison on everything. And we all kind of had that idea of, staying together and all sure. working, in the same path. So, over the last, I wouldn't say it was just last year, but over the last couple of years, there's been more of a feeling from some of the larger towns, including the city of Saratoga Springs, myself, that the county was kind of not keeping up with, what our public wanted, what our population needed. We kind of work, and as we've talked about this lots of times about technology. Mm-hmm. The county is kind of stuck in a kind of older feel, yeah. I guess I'll say, to be, PC, sure. Where they're not really doing a lot of technology updates. They're not really as efficient as they can be. Things are still done a lot on paper, that kind of stuff. But additionally, I don't think that they were really listening or hearing our kind of requests that we were having as larger towns, right? Had gone to the county a couple of times for some, individual requests from City of Saratoga Springs. Really, it's mainly assistance to local not-for-profit organizations that we have here. For instance, UPH had come to me with a request for some funding mm-hmm. from the county to help them kind of get off the ground, which sadly for them, they just launched last year, and then they had one concert, and then they got shut out from the pandemic, unfortunately. But before that, they had come to me, and bringing one of those kinds of requests to the county, it's kind of intimidating. But the way that it was set up was that much of the committees that made those decisions were kind of filled with smaller town supervisors, right? And I respect all my colleagues, but at the same token, their interest was not really in the same place as our interest. Mm-hmm. And if so they shot that down. We weren't able to get that funding. It was, very difficult to even bring that forward because, they see Saratoga Springs as a very large, wealthy place. And, sure. We are, but, also we're the ones that drive all the revenue and the tax dollars to
That's right.
Saratoga County among, the Northway Corridor, Clifton Park, Wilton, those towns are also very large retail towns and they have large populations and we are the ones that bring that economic development to the county. And so, giving a little bit and allowing towns like Saratoga Springs or cities like Saratoga Springs to, put forward a small amount of money in our county budget to help us, which then drives more tax revenue, which then helps them, to have that shot down over and over again and to feel like it's not, you're not really being listened to is frustrating. And I think it wasn't just us. I think it was a lot of those towns felt that way. And you know, last year, you know, there was some frustration with committee assignments. No larger town supervisor's got a chairmanship of a committee at the county, except for me. I was the only one that received the chairmanship. And that was very frustrating. And, you know, the most powerful committees, and we talk about this lots of times, law and finance and things, full of smaller town supervisors. So if you're a, you know, we do one man, one vote at the county, talked a little bit about that in the past too. Our committees are seven supervisors, each with an individual vote, right? So if you think about it, you get a seven member committee, the highest powerful committee in the county, and you look at the supervisors that are placed on it, they represent at a maximum, maybe 20,000 county residents, right, by their population, but they have seven equal votes on this committee, right? Saratoga Springs has 26,000 people, going to be more in the next census when we figure it out.
Right.
So that one committee, that's the most powerful committee, represents less people in the county than my city. And so it's a little bit unweighted, right? The weight is not right there, you know? Yeah. And so that kind of thing had to change, I think. And so when we started it a little bit last year, and it created a lot of, you know, controversy and discord and among the county, and you could see it. I mean, you watched it, as in the news last year, and the pandemic didn't help, because, you know, we had those issues with time and half pay and, you know, not getting masks out to people, and kind of like kept pulling back at the county rather than going forward. I mean, we couldn't get meetings, you know, established because we had this old arcane rule that you needed to have, you couldn't just have a majority of the weighted vote show up to the county for a meeting.
Okay.
You had to have 12 supervisors plus one and a weighted vote for it, which meant that it allowed the smaller communities to kind of hold the larger communities hostage, if you will, to try to have a special meeting. So over and over through the year, the larger towns started to kind of push their weight around. And by the time we got to this year, we had the ability to, you know, put a chairman in from the town of Moreau, which is a larger town. Supervisor Kuznier is a colleague of mine, and I respect him, and he's thinking the right way, in my opinion. So I voted for him at that meeting. And so we have kind of done that. So the Law and Finance Committee now is full of larger town supervisors. Okay. That represent a weighted majority of our county residents, right? Some of the other committees are like that too, where we've now made it so that you have a little better representation as a county. And that's not to say that our small town colleagues aren't important. They are, and we have to be sure we accommodate their needs. But at the end of the day, it makes more sense for the county to represent the people, you know, one for one as a whole. So I'm happy about that. And again, I'll do whatever I can for Saratoga Springs as always, because that's my town and my city and work for them. So,
well, you know, the small towns do need their representation.
Oh yeah.
But they don't realize that what made these city and towns profitable was the Northway.
Right.
So, I mean, and now with the expansion into these small towns, getting more revenue from housing developments, they're going to start reaping benefits that they haven't in the past too. You know, so.
It's interesting because the pandemic has created some interesting things. You know, people aren't going out as much. You know, they're not getting around and getting out. Right. People are kind of staying in, and you know, restaurants close early, so you're not really out that late. And I've noticed that people are kind of shutting down around 5-6 o'clock, right? Yeah. Getting back home. And the other thing that people aren't really doing is getting around. And so it's funny because the growth is still happening in Saratoga County, right? Yeah. Even though you may not be seeing it. And, you know, if you take a drive down to Malta, which is really a fast growing town right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how different that is from the last, you know, maybe the last time you were there.
Oh, I know. I know it.
And the amount of housing developments that have gone up in that town. And so all around us in Saratoga Springs, things are growing and those towns are getting bigger. And we've talked about that before.
Sure.
We used to be the big kids on the block and everybody was small, but now it's like, there's a lot of equal kind of players in the county in size.
Who would have ever thought Clifton Park, a small town, would now be the largest area in the county, and it's going to keep happening because people are moving out of the big areas like Saratoga, and they're going, they want country, more country. And so you got places like Greenfields and, you know, Gansevoort. There's huge development out there. And so, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens there. But
I mean, you know, it politically, it changes the game a little bit for the city. And we've talked about that before. But, you know, and again, those towns will grow as they kind of see fit. And that's their prerogative. We do local home rule zoning here in the county. Sure. So each town can grow as it sees fit. But you're right. I mean, Clifton Park is larger than Saratoga Springs in population by now by like 10 or 12,000 people. And Half Moon is probably going to be either equal or larger than Saratoga Springs in this next census.
Now, so, the thing is, it's the largest populated area without a main street.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you think about it, there's no downtown there.
Right. No, no,
and,
no.
You know, that's
they have Jonesville, which is still kind of a rural area. That has a street called Main Street, but there's no businesses on it. So maybe there's a few businesses on it. I got to be careful. My colleague, Mr. Barrett, might be listening. So I need to make sure that I'm clear on what's going on down there in Clifton Park. Because they're a great town and they're doing, you know, they have a lot of, you know, they're an economic engine of the county. You know, just as we are, they have lots of hotel rooms too, which is another thing. If people, you know, go to Clifton Park, they figure we have all the hotel rooms, but really they're pretty close, if not the same. Too.
You know, with the track, hopefully will be opened this year with however many fans they let in, and who knows by the time July gets around what, you know, what's going to be. But in a good year, I mean, there's more of a need of hotels.
Yep.
And Clifton Park isn't that far away of a drive to Saratoga. So it's
right. And the prices will be a little bit lower there than in the city. So, I mean, that's part of it too. And I think, but even then year round, I mean, I think Clifton Park was doing pretty well with hotel occupancy. I mean, the county, it was a building, a lot of hotel rooms, but you know, I think we were still doing pretty good with occupancy up until the pandemic hit, you know.
Excellent.
And I think those hotels will come back once we get to any kind of sense of normal, you know, normalcy again.
What's normal
in our lives?
Now, you know, I don't think we'll ever see the pre-normal before pandemic, but
you know, at the end of the day, I feel, you know, positive about things at the county. You know, I feel like we're, you know, trying to, you know, be a little more open. I mean, we're having more press conferences than we did last year. We're trying to communicate out to the public, you know, and transitioning into the next topic, you know, we're going to try to do things a little more efficiently at the county too. But, you know, we do have, you know, a new county attorney and a new county administrator. And so there's different, you know, there's some different people even in those positions that will have a different viewpoint of how we should do things at the county. So overall, I think we're doing great. County is still very strong. We did not have as big of a economic downturn as the city did in terms of our budget. I mean, we didn't raise taxes or do anything like that last year. We still kept on within the tax cap. And our sales tax was only down about 3% or so over the entire year. So our budget really didn't take that big of a hit as the city's did.
They're
heavily relying on that restaurant and hotel.
Sure. So it's really amazing when you think about it, that some of the areas and some of the businesses did well during the pandemic. The county really didn't get hurt that bad.
Yep.
And when you look back and see how many businesses were hurt, even went out of business to keep taxes, you know, stable. that's pretty good.
With some new spending initiatives. I mean, we are doing a big technology initiative next year. Finally getting our board of supervisors room, you know, to go along with some of the openness, I guess, transparency to finally get camera in our boardroom so people can see our meetings, finally get us to interconnect well with Zoom and other, you know, software like that so people can hear us. I mean, if you listen to a county board meeting, it's terrible. I mean, I'll be the first to admit and apologize to people that, you know, we just aren't doing that well right now.
It's like the old city hall meetings, Saratoga city hall meetings. You could barely hear them. And once they had the TV people there, it's like being right in the room,
Yep. And live streaming and all that. We're gonna do a big, you know, it's expensive because the board of supervisors, 23 members, and it's a much bigger space.
Sure.
So it takes a lot more to actually put good technology in. So we're gonna spend quite a bit of money on that and get it so that committee meetings as well, you know, not just the big board meetings, but our committee meetings too are filmed. You can see them, you can hear them, you can watch what we're doing. Because we should have been doing that a long time ago. Sure.
You know, and you'll be able to archive them also.
Yep, that's too. You know,
so that'll be good
for minutes and replay and all that. That's also good too. You're not just kind of reading a minutes that are summarizing a meeting. You're actually going to get some of the full, you know, the full meeting. And we're starting this year. We've done a couple of things too, which I'm really kind of excited about. Actually, it's small stuff, but we're excited about is we're attaching. Associated and extra material to our agendas.
Okay.
So when a committee meeting is put up, the agenda gets published, you'll see the backup material that the supervisors are going to see at the meeting, which we never did that before. And we've had lots of, you know, requests for that as well as for our board of supervisors meeting.
Sure.
And we are finally going to start putting like verbatim transcripts of our minutes to be published. So the word for word of how it went. We were supposed to be doing that, you know, from the state, you know, as you know, when we were not allowing the public into our meetings.
Right.
We're supposed to be doing transcripts and that kind of stuff. And, you know, we finally found a good software that can, you know, in a meeting that you can barely hear, hear what's going on and actually get the transcript.
Get the information. Out
the way that you want. So that should be helpful too, to people that, you know, you'll get a summary of the meeting plus a transcript of what happened.
Yeah. And you've always been in the forefront of the technology. I remember, and we've talked about this years past when you initiated it, was with the time cards. They were the old punch card types, and you kind of led the way to update that to computer.
Yep.
And
finally.
And well, you know, and I guess you have to do that slowly because of the expense.
Yep.
But, you know, you led the charge on that. And we talked about that before it happened, you know, through the process.
Some of the latest requests for technology are accepting credit card payments, which we still don't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for like the treasurer's office, when you have to pay a bill, a tax bill or something, you know, being able to accept credit card, you know, as well as the county clerk's office, you know, you pay for documentation. They do it down in the DMV, but that's a kind of a state run department.
Right.
But for the county run departments, you know, we need some of that. You know, we still have a really arcane old way of, you know, taking bids in for work we need to have done. You know, we don't allow email acceptance. You know, you have to mail it in and all that. It's kind of really old school. So, you know, there's little things like that that just make it easier for people when they interact with the county to
sure.
do business with us. I mean, you know, instead of having to come down and do stuff.
Right. You had mentioned in the previous discussion early about government, you had the same people that had been replaced for 30 or some years. And, you know, you need fresh ideas.
Yep.
And along with changing times, sometimes you have to change people because they're still thinking, well, they're still thinking of the old way.
Of course.
You know, and you know, times do change and they have to adapt. So sometimes it just means having to change somebody, not because you don't like them, but you have to
do exactly.
You know?
No, so, I agree with you. I think, you know, and trying to also, you know, get that message down, not that you have to change people, but get the message down through the departments that, you know, we're open to ideas. I think we've gotten a little away from that, I think, in the county, where, you know, everybody kind of just works in their own little silo and, you know, we don't really kind of ask for suggestions. Right. And now we're really getting into the next topic, which is government review and efficiency, which is a new committee that's been formed this year that I'm chairing. And so, you know, the idea is to kind of move into that, you know, is that we're trying to break down the jurisdictional lines that we have at the county. So if you're, you know, say you're the DPW department head, but you see something that's in the, you know, completely unrelated department like HR or something like that, a process that they're doing that you think should be looked at or you have an issue with, or you maybe think we can improve, you know, don't be shy to come forward with that idea and say you want to see a change here, or there's something that you think may can work better, or and vice versa. I mean, it doesn't really matter what department it is, you know, like, because I think people feel sometimes in government that, you know, I can't step on somebody else's toes, right? They're doing their job over there and I'm doing my job over here, and we never should talk to each other, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to have the county being open and with itself, right, to see where we could make improvements. Otherwise, you know, we won't. And
No.
And really, and,
my input in this, I was going to say stuffing in other departments. You can't do that in Saratoga Springs.
Right.
But, you know, and we'll get back. I mean, I just want to input a little, and, you know, it's going to be a while before the comes up to a vote again.
Right.
But the county does run like a city manager form of government.
Yes.
Supervisors are the aldermen of the county, and you have a city administrator who's like the city manager.
Right.
I think it works a lot better being able to have, like you said, DPW give you some insight in what's happening in another department and, you know, make suggestions, not that ordering you, well, you should be doing this.
Right, right.
I think it's helpful. I really do. And
We have the flexibility to do that. And, you know, it's, you know, one of the things we're looking at too in the county right now is, you know, how much, you know, the Board of Supervisors is the ultimate authority of the county, right? We're the elected officials and we make all the decisions, but we know that we have a lot of policy out there that kind of takes some of that authority, not away, but delegates it, right?
Sure.
And the Board of Supervisors can delegate, and that's okay, but, you know, it's not illegal to do that. But at the end of the day, we want to be sure that we're delegating appropriately, right? And
right.
So, you know, from time to time, again, you spoke of it earlier, 30 years of, you know, we've had two county administrators in 30 years, right? And so, it's, you know, where do we go forward to kind of appropriately make sure that all the authority is where it's supposed to be for everything.
Sure.
Because it can get, you know, out of sync over time, you know,
and it's good to delegate, but you're still responsible.
Right. Right.
So you can delegate a job to me, but if I'm not doing a good job, you're my boss.
You're right. I mean, we're the ultimate authority of the county.
Sure.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that's, I think, one of the things that this government review committee is going to look at too, is just to be sure that, you know, whether it's contracting authority, whether it's, you know, departmental operation authority, that, you know, the administrator has the authority they need to get their job done, obviously.
Good.
The supervisors also have the authority to, you know, make a decision as well. You know, decision-making authority has to stay at the Board of Supervisors for everything. So
check and balance is good.
Yeah. So we're going to do that in this committee. And, you know, I'm really excited about it. I mean, we're going to look at so many arcane things. My head is going to spin, but, local laws. I mean, we have local laws of the county that are the law of the county, right? That I don't think anybody's reviewed those for ever, you know?
Yeah.
And so we need to know. I mean, we may have stuff on the books from the 1950s that's still a law. I mean, people joke about that kind of stuff, you know, the old spitting on the sidewalk, you know, kind of laws.
Gloversville had one on the books when my father was a councilman back in the late 70s, that when you parked your horse carriage on the road, you had to leave your lantern on.
Right, right, exactly.
That you were there.
Right.
And I mean, it was still on the books.
Right, right. So we have that. We have that here. I mean, I don't know if we have stuff that old here, but we do have stuff maybe from the 1940s and 50s that's still on the books. And, you know, whether it's appropriate or not, we'll look at that. But, you know, sometimes they just have to be amended. We do it a little differently now. But other times, you know, they're literally stuff we don't need anymore.
Right. And those are little things that you don't think about. I mean, you don't spend time on it because of so many other bigger issues, you know.
Yes, exactly.
So.
But cleaning it up is always good. I'm a person who kind of believes that, you know, doing the small stuff is important because eventually it's going to become a big problem.
Oh, sure.
And so you always have to do the small stuff. And I think people sometimes forget that. They see like, that's not really that important. We're not going to touch it. And then eventually, you know, 20 years later, you're going, why did we do that?
Right.
And then you all point back to some little old law you never took care of. You
exactly. Know, and it affects right. something bigger down the road, you know.
Right.
Hey, just want to get into a couple more topics. COVID vaccination program. I know a lot of it is problems with states getting COVID vaccine to different areas. What?
Yep.
Maybe you can just touch on that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll preface this by saying that I'm not the best expert in Saratoga County to talk about this. Mm-hmm. You know, Supervisor Gaston, my colleague from Saratoga Springs, is the chair of the county's Public Health and Human Services Committee. And so she's daily in contact with our Commissioner of Public Health on this issue. So every day there could be changing guidance. So what I say here at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday could be different by 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, because sure. the state may make a decision on it. So don't always take what I say, you know, at face value on this podcast, because
we never do, man.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because it could change, right? So, yeah. You know, the biggest challenge I think we face as a county, because I get emails from constituents, and I'm sure the city council is getting lots of emails. I know they are from yeah. constituents about how to get vaccines, how to assist, you know, what can we do to help them? You know, there's a lot of folks out there who are, you know, they don't have transportation. You know, they're stuck at home, you know, their age. I mean, it's from 65 up to as old as you can be.
Sure.
So, you know, there's some folks who are in their 90s that are looking for vaccines. And so they don't really have a lot of, you know, ability. They're not online. They have trouble calling. It's, you know, it's been really difficult to get, you know, and people, you know, they're desperate. They want these vaccines mm-hmm. today, yesterday, you know, and get yeah. things moving. So the challenge we faced at the county is that, you know, as a public health department, the state Department of Health kind of governs everything that we do. So we're not able to just say, well, in Saratoga County, we'll vaccinate everybody, or we'll just tomorrow we'll do the homeless population, and the next day we'll do, right. you know, teachers, right? We can't, sure. we can't really just say that and decide that at the county. And really it's funny, because in other types of vaccination programs, we do have that ability.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if we're doing like, you know, some kind of, you know, tuberculosis or something like that, let's say, the county basically just gets to decide how it happens.
Right.
And so this time around, it was much different, because we were not given the ability that we normally are given to decide. The state right. is making all the decisions. And so when you go to the website, it's a state website for your vaccination location. It's not Saratoga County, even though you may start at Saratoga County, right? We're going to kick you to the state's website to make your vaccination appointment. And so that's why you're seeing the Utica and the Plattsburgh and Potsdam. And those are the state locations, the state vaccination site locations. Sure. Saratoga County doesn't have one.
No.
We're really ready and willing and able to have the city center be one. We've put money into it at the county, and we've had the state come and take a look at it. And we've had, you know, various, you know, outreach to try to see if we can get that going, because it could do 2,000 or 3,000 people a day. I mean, we're that certainly at that level, but we haven't gotten that approval to open it up, and we haven't gotten the vaccines, frankly, to open it up.
Right.
So even if the state doesn't make it a state-run vaccination site, if we get enough vaccine that we could do like a big day, like if we got, say, we got 10,000 and we had to do them all in like 2 days,
right?
We would then open that site up to get the people through as fast as we could to get them all vaccinated, right? But we've never had that situation. Our vaccines come in batches of 400 or 500,
yeah.
even less sometimes. And so we're getting the people vaccinated that we think we can get done, but we're yeah. not able to kind of be we're not running it. So we can't really sure. be the ones to say, well, here's how it's all going to go, folks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and it's been frustrating for people. I feel bad, because, you know, I've said, you know, publicly that, you know, for me, my job is to try to assist people and do my job, and you're tying my hands behind my back as a supervisor. I want to be able to say to you, Rick, if you need something from me, here's where you go. Here's how it gets done. And literally an hour later, you're all set.
Yeah.
Right. But instead I'm saying, like, I really can't do much. You know, I'll refer you to public health. They might be able to call you back, but they may not give you a good answer.
That's
we're
right.
kind of stuck with what we can do. So I really can't help you, but I'll try to get you where you need to go. And to me, that's like the most frustrating thing. Is
right.
Like,
it's a no-win situation. I mean, you don't control it and you can't, you know, but you know, we had talked before about the, that's the perfect situation at the city center. You have a parking garage where people can park. They don't have to walk outside. They walk in the overhead walkway and inside and then back to their car.
Exactly.
So it really is a perfect spot. I can't imagine any other area in the state that has a spot like this.
Yeah, certainly not in the county because we're, you know, we looked at that. I mean, we have other sites in the county. I mean, look, we have, you know, open and closed, they call them pods, points of distribution. And so, you know, we have lots of sites in this, in the county.
Yeah.
They can only do a limited number of vaccines and they're not all open. And even when they do get open, then again, there's so little vaccine. So it's really hard to even get that coordinated. So, you know, we're doing everything we can when it comes to the people who we can vaccinate, which are, you know, again, the healthcare workers, the frontline people, the teachers, you know, but I'll say the average 65 and older person, right, with no underlying condition, or even if you do have one, the county still isn't able to vaccinate you.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of special days where we were given some special vaccine where we could do some vaccinations, and we did basically vulnerable populations, right? We did people who couldn't get out of their house and get to a site, right? And then and some people, we did some at the public health site, so some people were able to get there. And then we did the homeless group. We tried to get as many of those vaccinated as we could, because I know that's been a concern of people. You know, those folks are outside and, you know, not able to be, you know, quarantined, or they may social distance outside, but, you know, mask wearing can be difficult. And there's a whole bunch of challenges there. You know, trying to get that population done, trying to get people who are in home living situations done.
Yeah.
So it's been a challenge, but again, I'll say that really for me, you know, I'm just answering questions as I can.
Yeah.
And I'm forwarding people to other places because, again, I'm not daily in contact with public health and I don't know exactly everything about it. So I defer to my colleague for that.
Sure. Referring people to Tara or to state health department. That's great information you can give people because they may not even know that. I know you have to go.
Oh,
two quick questions. I know we're probably over time, but
that's okay.
Are you on the racing committee still or no?
I'm not on the racing committee this year.
Okay.
They gave me five other committees that were like super busy. I'm on a technology committee and a government review and efficiency where I'm, you know, going to have to put my eyeglasses on and read old local laws. So,
sure.
And among other committees, but I'm not in racing, but I did attend the first racing committee meeting.
Okay.
We are doing a resolution on VLT to urge the governor and Congress, the state legislature, to fund us again. You know, at any level, we'll take the city really needs it. And again, I, as a city representative, I advocate for my city, but the county also gets some money for VLT.
Sure, they do.
We could use it. So, again, our budget wasn't hit as bad. Our sales tax was still down 3%, which is, you know, $10 or $12 million. So, you know, we need whatever revenue we can get. And so, so we'll push on that. And we haven't done a resolution on fans at the track yet. We've kind of put some feelers out with NYRA on that. They're kind of waiting to see how it goes. It looks like they probably will be able to have fans this year, based on that 10,000 or more capacity and getting people tested before they come and all that kind of stuff. It's still going to be way lower than normal, but that will help hotel occupancy and it will help admissions tax, which we got zero admissions tax last year. That hurt the city pretty bad, and the county. and you know, those kinds of things that come out of the track. So
and
SPAC too will help if SPAC has fans.
Yeah,
They have a different challenge because their amphitheater holds less than 10,000.
Right.
So how do they operate? And their lawn holds more than 10,000, but
you can't.
It's outside, and you kind of social distance that. So
you can't.
Yeah, they have a challenge, but I think they're working on it.
All right.
But Yeah. So
yeah, I read in there. All right. I wanted to get to the county building, but I think I think you, that may be a discussion for another time. And
okay.
And you know, I don't want to hold you up because being on five committees with two boys and your day's probably going to be pretty busy.
I've been working on a big project in my regular job too, which is really, really killing me. So I'm working hard all day and then I'm working hard all night. So, yeah. You know,
I don't know how you do it. I never did many years we've been doing this radio show and you've been on, you know, every couple months or so. You're a busy guy. And yeah. I want to thank you for it too.
Well, now I'm going to try to go snowshoeing, I think, today. I haven't been snowshoeing in, like, I don't know, 10 years. So the wife wants to go snowshoeing today. So I think
we're going to do that. All right, Matt. Well, listen, get outside, have some fun, and I want to thank you.
All right, yeah, thanks.
Hope you come back, okay?
Absolutely. No problem. We'll be back.
All right, you take care.
All right, Rick. Thank you.
Bye-bye.